الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
ما شاء الله my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani channel welcome back to our beautiful program so before we do anything let's go towards the beautiful qira'at of the Quran inshallah sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu ta'ala ala muhammad
sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim bismillahir rahmanir rahim ya استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة إن الله مع الصابرين ولا تقولوا لمن يقتل في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون ولنبلونكم بشيء من الخوف والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين آمنت بالله صدق الله العظيم MashaAllah Azawajal, we're going to listen to a beautiful kalam now.
Thank you. اٹھ دے جاؤں دو قدم مر جاؤں میں اگر اٹھ دے جاؤں دو قدم کیا چھوڑ گئے کیا بچے بیمارے غم کو ربے مسیحا چھوڑ گئے بخشوانا
channel. Inshallah, so we're going to go towards the topic today. And before I mention the topic, let me just tell you a little bit about this topic, why this topic is so important. Once Hazrat Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he is sat in Masjid al-Nabawi, and this is just a demise after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wasail zahiri happened. Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, they are all sat in the masjid and they're discussing and they're talking about the biggest sin. And Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that they couldn't come to any conclusion. Now Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he was only a child at that moment as well, and he says that they sent me to a Sahabi called Hazrat Sayyidina Amr bin Al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that I should go to him and ask him if he knows what the biggest sin is. So Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he goes to Hazrat Sayyidina Amr bin Al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu's house, and he asks him that the Sahaba ikram are sat in the masjid and they're discussing about the biggest sin. And Hazrat Amr bin Al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the biggest sin of all is drinking alcohol, drinking sharab. He says, I returned back to the masjid, I told the Sahaba ikram, and they said that, you know, they refused to accept it. So they went to Hazrat Amr bin Al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu's house, and they asked him directly. And Hazrat Sayyidina Amr bin Al-As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that the beloved Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wasallam, he once said to me that once one of the king of Bani Israel, he captured a person and he offered him the choice of drinking alcohol, killing someone, committing adultery, or eating the flesh of a swine.
Allah.
Otherwise, he would kill him. And the person, he thought to himself, I'm not going to eat swine, the pig. I'm not going to kill someone, and I'm not going to commit adultery. I might as well trade the sharab and I'll drink that. So if the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, when he drank alcohol, he carried out all the acts. He killed the person, he committed adultery, and he also ate the pig as well. Now from this, this is why the scholars, they say that alcohol, sharab, is the mother of all evil. And another thing that Allah Ta'ala mentions within alcohol in the Quran, إِنَّمَا الْخَمْرُ وَالْمَيْسِرُ وَالْأَنْصَابُ وَالْأَزْلَامُ رِجْسٌ مِّنْ عَمَلِ الشَّيْطَانِ. The mafhum is that drinking alcohol and gambling are all the amal shaitan, they are all the acts of the shaitan. And this is what our topic is today, alcohol and gambling. MashaAllah Azawajal, we've got Bisharat Bhai back in the studio today, inshallah Azawajal. Bisharat Bhai, I want to start off with yourself as well. A very important topic. Some people might think, well, we don't do any of them. But the sad fact is that today, nowadays, the statistics tell us as well that alcohol amongst the Muslim has gone on an increase, and gambling amongst the Muslim has gone on an increase to such an extent that so many families are being destroyed because of that.
It's stated in the Holy Quran in part 7, Surah Maidah, verse 91, translation from the magnificent Kanzul Iman, that the devil only seeks to instill hatred and enmity between you with wine and gambling,
Allah,
and to prevent you from the remembrance of Allah Azawajal and from Salah. So have you desisted? Here, what do we learn from this? The facts that we learn from this, that is evidence from this verse of the Holy Quran, that number one, alcohol prevents a person from the remembrance of Allah Azawajal and from offering his Salah. And two, it becomes a cause of enmity and malice. A lot of people don't realize this,
yeah.
But when a person is intoxicated, he becomes, he has a lot of hatred inside himself. And shaitan is an open enemy of mankind, and he will never be a well-wisher. And instead, he remains busy in the efforts that somehow he'll deviate a person from the right path. So when a person's intoxicated, they don't know what they do.
And you've seen that so many times. You know, we live in an environment where sadly, you know, instead of non-Muslims, we see a lot of Muslims as well. You know, and sadly, I went to a town, I'm not going to mention the name of the town, but I went to the town, and so the main road that I was going to go on, that was closed, so they had to divert the traffic through the town center. And it wasn't a busy town center, but the one thing I saw, that there was a nightclub in that town center. And, you know, as I drove past it, you know, how can you, you know, not close your, you can't close your eyes because you're driving. But, you know, majority of the people that were outside, ma'azallah, and this is not only women, but the only men as well, all of them, ma'azallah, as well, with bottles of alcohol. But sadly, you know, I was shocked to see that they were all Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they were all Muslims. And, you know, one of them I knew myself as well. And when he saw me, you know, he legged it. You know, the thing is, why are you running away from me? Allah's watching you. No, you're not scared of Allah Ta'ala. And this is the sad fact today, Harun Bey.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Bisharat Bey, I'm going to start with an ayat of the glorious Quran. Part 7, Surah Maidah, verse 90 and 91. Translation from Kanzul Iman. O people who believe, wine and gambling and idols and darts are impure, the works of the shaitan. Therefore keep avoiding them so that you may succeed. The devil only seeks to instill hatred and enmity between you with wine and gambling, and to prevent you from the remembrance of Allah Azza wa Jal and from prayer. So have you desisted? And when this ayah mubarakah was revealed, Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala immediately said, "O Allah, we have refrained." And they say that in the rawayat that in the streets of Medina, everybody poured their pots, and it was like a river of sharab.
Yes,
and everybody then didn't look back. It's very unfortunate that the very people who showed the world how to live without this and how to avoid it are now indulged in it. But what you've got to understand, and this is where I wanted to begin with, is that a lot of people, you know, the ignorant, I'd call them, or the unintelligent, they say, well, what's wrong with it? The Hadith Mubarakah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that one Hadith Mubarakah, spelt out all the wrongs.
Allah.
Why? Because when that person went, Hafizab, to that place, and he was offered the sins, the murder, which is a very grave sin, and he said, no way am I going to do that. Adultery, no way, don't even think about it. You know, eating haram, no. And he, in his mind, thought, of all of these evils, in his mind, the smallest and the most insignificant was the alcohol.
Allahu Akbar.
So he took that, and what did it lead to? It led to all of the gravest sins and destruction of his life. And that's what we're still doing today.
Mm.
You know, and despite the beautiful teachings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, 1460 years later, you still get youngsters who say, oh, what's wrong with it? I can handle my drink. You know, when the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells you that you cannot go near it, when the glorious Quran tells you, Allah says, I've created you, I am your creator, and I say, do not go near this, it's a test for you, and then to try and justify it.
Astaghfirullah.
And there's I think it's in Bahari Shariat, Mufti Amjad Ali Azmi, I was reading earlier, and what he says is that, he quotes a riwayat, and he says that two things, alcohol, intoxicants, and iman cannot be in the same place.
The two opposite things,
aren't
they?
The two opposites.
Yeah.
So, you know, as soon as you go down this road, you are literally, you know, na'uzubillah, you are challenging Allah's command, and you are devaluing your iman, because the greatest treasure we have is the treasure of iman. And, you know, you're saying that this gift that we had, and the fact that you're from the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, I don't want to pull my punches on this. Sharam we going in? You know, we're not embarrassed or ashamed, because you know the prophets prayed to be in the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, they cried. Look at Hazrat Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the troubles he went to come to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Look at Hazrat Bilal ibn Kamar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the troubles he went through to come to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Over the centuries, people have given everything they had just to be in the ummah of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Everything they had. They spent their lives, you know, in slavery. You know, we've got a mashallah learned scholar with us. They spent their lives in slavery. Some of them were tortured. And yet, when they got to the feet of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they forgot everything. They thought, we've got everything. And you are giving that up for what? Just a little bit of enjoyment for a few hours? And what are you trying to get? Because what alcohol does, Bashar Bhai, is it makes you lose your senses. Right? So what these youngsters do, what are these people do is they think, well, I've got my stress, I've got my problems, and therefore it's justified, I can go out and I can have a drink. Now, first of all, these stresses, these problems, what did Allah say in the glorious Quran? That this life is a test. You've been created, you've been put on this earth, and if you had a blissful life, so there's no problems, there's no difficulties, you've got good earnings, you've got a good job, you've got children, you've got everything, everything's flowing beautifully. And then, you know, there's no test, is there? So the test comes when there's mushkilat, when there's difficulty, and then despite the difficulties, you stick to the command of Allah.
I mean, Harun bhai, what differentiates us as human beings from, for example, animals is the intellect.
Subhanallah.
And straight away when a person intoxicates themselves, what happens is it affects the intellect.
Allah.
Straight away. Once the intellect is affected, a person starts behaving like an animal.
Mm.
I want you to mention something here in relation to a person who is habitual in drinking alcohol. Now, Shaitan has children, which comprises of 9 devils. And one of them is named Hafaf. And this is the devil that is attached to the alcoholics.
Allah.
We think of alcoholics as somebody that is constantly in a state of alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't that. An alcoholic is even that person, in the books it's stated, even if a person drinks, say for example, habitually, even after 7 years, that person is classified as an alcoholic. So he says here, when a person is trapped by the shaitan named Hafaf, he overlooks the commandments of Allah Azza wa Jal. And as soon as he adopts the company of shaitan, the first thing that he does is he loses his intellect.
And you see that as well, you know, when those people who drink alcohol, you know, there's no sense of adab, respect, you know, haya left in that person. And sadly, we got a message the other day from a viewer that, you know, she said that my husband comes back home and he's always intoxicated, even in the month of Ramadan. Okay. You know, you might be thinking Ramadan is a month that a person really wants to change himself. But this sad person comes in the month of Ramadan, he comes back home, he's drunk, he starts, you know, abusing his wife, his children. You know, you can't imagine that house where a person is drinking alcohol. He might be thinking, yeah, you know, like you said, I can control myself. But these things are happening in our Muslim homes. And then another sad thing, Nigrani Shura once mentioned in his bayan, you know, Pakistan, alhamdulillah, is a Muslim country. Yeah. And now this is not just only in Pakistan, but the thing is, it's a Muslim country. I think it was in 1997, in the month of Ramadan, Pakistan, they run out of alcohol, you know, every single, you know, as they say, drop of alcohol was sold out. Who was drinking? You know, we were talking about a Muslim majority country, there's no alcohol left in there. And that is so sad. And, you know, even nowadays, our weddings, our parties, you know, somehow this thing does come in. You know what people say, oh, we're not going to drink it, it's for our friends. You know, even if you are giving it to your friends, you know, that is bad as well though, isn't it?
I mean, I've got one here, there's a riwayat regarding Sayyidina Imam Ibn Abid Dunya, rahmatullah ta'ala, and he says that once he passed by a person who was severely intoxicated due to alcohol, and he says he was urinating in his hands, and he was washing his body parts like you would do when you're performing wuzu, and he was saying the following, it is a translation, all praises to Allah who made Islam Noor, yani divine light, and water a purifier. Yani, this is a person who's completely lost his intellect,
Jee.
And he's urinating in his own hands, and he's performing wuzu with that. And obviously this is a person that doesn't understand anything that he's doing, he's lost his complete mind. And we see it nowadays as well. It's unfortunate within our own communities that we see this sort of situation, that people, they completely, like, I'll give you an example, the day of Eid. You know, when the blessingful month of Ramadan, the night of Eid is a night in, if we worship Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, this is one of the blessingful nights. Whereas what happens is that is the night when Shaitan, he gets freed, and then we see our youngsters on the street. Yeah, and in places, what they're doing is they're partying, and unfortunately, and you know, things like this are taking place where, you know, they're going into places, they're vomiting, they're falling over in the streets, they're urinating in the streets, and this is something that our own Muslims are doing. And people on Madri channel might be thinking and listening and thinking, you know, that can't be happening, but this is the reality and this is what's happening today.
Allahu Akbar. See, the problem is with these people, in their own minds, Shahadwai, what they do is they justify their actions. What the shaitan does, and these people are very, very weak, because what the shaitan does is says, the weather isn't good today. And therefore, you know, and in Africa people are starving, and in such a country this happened, therefore you become depressed and off they go. And they look for trivial excuses. But the reality is that these people are weak to begin with, and then as soon as they intoxicate themselves, it's like you said, they become like animals. And then they destroy their own homes, they destroy their own lives, and not only that, if it was just limited to that, but they destroy their iman, their grave and the hereafter. And all for what? for that little bit of, and it's not even pleasure, because at that time, because you're intoxicated, you don't feel much as well, because you're lost. So you've got this kind of experience that you probably can't remember, and most people who are alcoholics who have given it up have said it's the worst experience in your life. And yet, you know, these people, why they keep doing it, and then the punishment, you know, their life is so miserable. Because they can't handle normal life. Life becomes unbearable, because not only has this alcohol completely destroyed their character, their, you know, morals, their understanding, but it has completely destroyed their family life as well. And then the wrath of Allah is upon these people.
I mean, you mentioned that. I just wanted to mention, in terms of a person who's an alcoholic, for example, his ibadat for 40 days aren't accepted. So if he offers namaz, his namaz isn't accepted. And not only that, if he does dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, his duas aren't accepted as well. So, you know, what sort of a person is this, that, you know, you're doing something which is completely against Islam, and not only that, this is something that Allah Azza wa Jal has forbidden us to do. At the same time, look, even if you wanted to turn into the court of Allah Azza wa Jal without performing tawbah, and there is a waqia regarding Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where a person is walking in the streets and he's got a bottle of alcohol, and he meets with Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when a person meets Sayyidina Umar Farooq Azam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he's going to get scared, because if you know, Amirul Mu'mineen, if he finds him with this bottle of alcohol, what's going to happen? You know, the punishment that will come with it. So, you know, he does tawbah from the bottom of his heart. And, you know, he does tawbah from the bottom of his heart. Ya Allah Azza wa Jal, you know, I repent from drinking alcohol. I'm not going to do it again. And, you know, if Amirul Mu'mineen finds me with this bottle of alcohol, then I'm done for. So, whilst he's hiding this bottle, Hazrat Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he asks him, you know, what is he concealing? What is he hiding? And he thinks to himself, you know, I can't say anything. I'm going to have to show this bottle. So he pulls this bottle out. Whilst he's pulling it out, he says it's a bottle of vinegar. And when he pulls it out, when Amirul Mu'mineen, he checks it, it is actually a bottle
Allah.
Of vinegar. And this is the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. When you turn into the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and, you know, a sinner who repents is the best of sinners, technically, because he's repented in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And what happens? I was listening to a speech of Mubin Madani, and he was talking about repentance, and he was saying a person who's committed, say for example, a million sins, and he repents in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, yani sincerely, Allah Azza wa Jal forgives them million sins.
For example,
if he falls back into that sin again, then it would have just been one sin. If he didn't repent, then it'd be a million and one sins. And we need to look towards this, that turn towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy has no bounds, and repent in the court of Allah.
See, repentance is the most important action, because it's your relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. Now, what a lot of people think is this, and the shaitan deceives them into thinking, well, one day I'll repent. How many incidents have we had up and down the country where youngsters, or not for that matter, you know, elder people who get involved in what Hafiz Sahib said, these drink and these drugs and these clubs, they've got into fights and then been stabbed or been shot, and then they've died in the state of intoxication. You know, and we've, you know, had to deal with janazas, we've had to deal with ghusls, where youngsters have been fighting amongst themselves and stabbed, somebody's got stabbed and he's died. But you know that they've died in the state of alcohol.
I mean, I came across a lad one time, and company is everything, it's a lot. And the company that he had at the time, this was a lad who, alhamdulillah, had been brought up, his parents had been, you know, technically they've kept him away from this. So he's married, he had children. And the company that he was adopting were, these guys were going out, they were, you know, going to the clubs, etc. And they were constantly talking about it. And then one day he turns around and he says, you know, I've made my mind up, I'm going to go out with these guys, etc. And I overheard him, and then I pulled him to one side and I spoke to him and I said to him, look, you know, what are you doing? And he said, you know, I've never been before, these guys are talking about it, it'll be a one-off, I'll just go and I'll enjoy myself. And I said to him, well, look at the reality of it. I go, do you know what people do in these places? Allah. Explained to him what sort of things take place. And I said, look, you know, when people are intoxicated, they have no intellect, they fight amongst each other, they're like animals. I go, what happens if somebody stabs you? I go, what's going to happen with your children tomorrow? What's going to happen with them, you know, and if they find out that you were in such and such a place when that incident happened?
You know, sadly, I've just got a message from an Islamic brother, and he says that this culture, you know, in the modern workplace, the culture in modern workplace is like, you know, they give out free, you know, free alcohol to them. And he's mentioned that there's a culture that after 4 p.m. they will allow their workers to drink alcohol, and they go to stash up, and they, you know, they give you a name as well, beer o'clock. Okay. Yeah, beer o'clock, that you can go and drink that beer, and for someone to fit into that. Now, I'm asking the viewers here as well, you know, even the parents as well, you know, we want our children to get a good job in a big, you know, big company, bring in a lot of money. But do you know what kind of culture that your son or your daughter is going to be working in? They will, you know, if it's a very big, large company, majority of the times, I've had it, you know, someone rang up one day and he goes, it was near December time, and the whole company is going out on a night out. And because I work in that company, is it jais for me to go with them? Obviously, you know, who's going to say it's jais? And what was happening there, the guy says, I did go with them, but I kept myself, you know, to myself. And he goes, there was Muslims drinking alcohol, there was women there, everything was happening there. And on the name of what, you know, Azadiya, you know, this is company, you've got to do this, you got to do that. And just to fit in with that. You know, we've got, mashallah, both of you Islamic brothers, you know, you work in the environment as well, but today you're talking against this. But sadly, you know, there might be someone out there whose iman is not as strong, and he will fall into that. We're not saying, you know, hate these people. What we're saying is hate the sin that they do. But, you know, you need to save your children from this.
See, a lot of people have said there are two points here. One is those people who are dealing with alcohol in their businesses. They tend to convince themselves that they are not doing wrong. I had one person who said to me, we were in a masjid in the northwest, and we were sat in the masjid, and there was a program going on, and he came and gave a donation, right? And he gave a donation, and the elan he had done was that this is a donation, but it's not from my normal business, which is alcohol. It's from a side business that I've got, so I've taken the money from there. And he had this elan done. And I thought, how ridiculously stupid can people get? You know, you're openly announcing to the world that I'm disobeying Allah Azza wa Jal. And he thought he was doing something clever by saying it's my second business. And what you were proving to the world was that despite Allah Azza wa Jal giving you halal sustenance, you have chosen to go after haram sustenance in war with Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is the, and then the categories of people, you know, anybody who deals with alcohol in any way, shape or form, whether you pass it, whether you, you know, the 10 categories, I think it was, that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam described. I was just looking for the Hadith of Barakah. I'll bring it up. But the other thing that you mentioned was these workplaces. Now, how many people, and you can get it, when you try to speak to them, they think, what's wrong with that? I'm not drinking it. They buy gifts for the non-Muslims, alcohol gifts, and give them the alcohol.
You know, in December, Harun Bey, I've seen it with me, with my own eyes, that, you know, people are buying crates and crates. What's all this for? Oh, it's for our customers, you know, because they're going to celebrate it, and, you know, we want to give them drinks. You know, do your customers in Ramadan give you bottles of Zamzam? You know, they don't care about you, they don't care about your religion, and mazallah, you know, you're giving them all this filth, and Allah, them 10 people on whom Allah Ta'ala has cursed, one of them is the one who gives someone to drink alcohol.
I was just telling you this, if you give a bottle of wine or alcohol to a person, and that person drinks that, gets drunk and goes and kills somebody, aren't you directly responsible for that murder?
Mm-hmm.
If he goes and rapes somebody, are you directly... If he goes and maims somebody, drink drives and kills 5 people on the motorway, are you responsible? Yes, you are. Legally, you might get away with it because it's his responsibility. But morally, you've destroyed...
Yeah.
And so what Islam does is very beautiful. What this society has tried to do over the last, you know, 150, 200, 300 years is try to regulate the use of alcohol, but it's failed miserably. If you look at the prisons, they're full of people who have committed crimes after dealing with alcohol. Millions and billions of pounds are spent on Friday nights and Saturday nights policing, accident and emergency departments, NHS beds, because of people who commit crimes while they are drunk. And that's not to mention the millions of families that have been destroyed by this. So it's almost a pandemic in itself that is out of control. So what does Islam do? They've tried to regulate it, and eventually they can't. And Islam deals with it very beautifully and says, look, do not go near it. And in a perfect Islamic society, there is no alcohol, so you don't get all the related offences with the alcohol. You don't get all the diseases. You don't get all the difficulties that it creates, because Islam is perfect. And in a perfect environment, there is no room for this filth and gunk. And that's why Islam says no, end of story.
You know, Harun Bhai, you mentioned about some of the costs for this as well. Now, I've got some figures in front of me. You know, the UK spends nearly £20 billion, you know, on people, on drugs awareness, and on, you know, treating the people. So NHS is strained with, you know, this much amount. There was another one, America, $60 million was spent in a campaign, just on a campaign, just to, for people to stop. And then at the end, what happened? You know, about 500,000 people were imprisoned because it was illegal to drink. And then in 1933, they declared it illegal, pure. You know, because they can't stop them now. But Alhamdulillah, Azawajal, look at on one side, one verse of the Quran was revealed, the Sahaba Ikram, you know, they broke all the pots of alcohol, and like you mentioned, it was flowing in the streets of Medina, knee high. And on one side, millions and billions of pounds is spent, but they can't stop people drinking. So here, my dear Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, if you've got this habit, if you are listening, you've got this habit of drinking, there's only one thing that can stop you, and that is the true fear of Allah. So the topic we're discussing today is alcohol. And another thing relating to that, inshallah, we're discussing also about gambling. Now here, I just want to talk to the parents for a while. Your child has come, mashallah, he's got a good education, he's got a good degree, he's trying to get a good job. Please don't think that he's got a good job, he's got a good degree, that he will be left alone and he'll be fine. That may not be the case. Please take care of them, look at them, where they go, where they work, where they spend out. Have a time at home that he must be back at this time. So many children, Harun Bhai, I've talked to, you know, sadly what's happened is when they start a job, there's something new for them. They're in a different world. And, you know, these things, when people offer them, you know, it's leading from one thing to another. You know, banda aina socha mare putra ki bo sani job labi hai janab to bade paise kamana. You know, what's going to happen is he's going to bring the money, but the things that are, you know, with that as well. I've spoken to a family where sadly their son got good education, got a very good job, and then what happened? They left him alone. He moved out of the family home. He used to go and work in London. Yeah. So the family was good. Amma the sneha mara putra ka London kam karna. Badi sani job hai. And then what happened? Main chot kar raha hun. Please don't mind me saying that. I'm just trying to hit into the hearts. Then what happened was that son of theirs, he went to London. MashaAllah, got into the wrong crowd, become an alcoholic, and also started to gamble as well. He came to a stage where he came back home, mom and dad don't even know, because he was so addicted to gambling now, he started to sell everything at home, came to a stage where he lost £80,000.
Allah, I want to take that and really analyze it, because there is a bigger problem here. The problem is this. When we send our children to gain the dunyavi ilm, there's nothing wrong with getting that. What does it do? It gives them the ability to earn money, right? So if he gets a degree in engineering, in law, in medicine, he will get a good job and he will be able to earn a living for himself. So his worldly life will be better. He can get a good car, a good house, look after his children, etc. Worldly life.
Yeah.
But it is limited to the worldly life.
Mm.
If we say that beyond that, that the degree is going to help him in the grave, it won't.
It won't,
right?
No.
So what was important was this. There was essential dini ilm. right? Now, I'm not here talking about those children who the parents, blessed parents, have sent to get a religious education, become island scholars of the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Those are very privileged. And Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we're very blessed in the studio as well. We have Beta Umar here, you know, and he is a scholar of the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I think, what year are you, Beta? Third year, mashallah. Now, that what I'm talking about is the essential knowledge. Now, you say the parents send them off to do degrees. The problem isn't sending them off to do degrees, because a lot of parents will be watching us and saying, well, what do? Do we not get our children a good education? That isn't the problem. The problem actually was, from the age of 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, all the way up to 18, 19 when he went to university, Imam Ghazali rahmatullahi alayhi says he was a blank sheet of paper. You could write whatever you wanted in there. Now, from the age of 5, 6, and 7, if you had made sure that he prayed his salah, he knew what the Quran was, you taught him the sunnahs of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you taught him that Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that in relation to alcohol, the child is drilled with this. I've got the Hadith of Mubarak in front of me now. 10 kinds of people. Whoever makes them, whoever helps to make it, whoever uses it, whoever carries it, to whom it is carried, who gives it to others, who sells it, who makes money from it, who purchases it, and those whom it is purchased by. Everybody are given the dire warnings. Now, if that is instilled into him all the way through,
I remember there might be a case where the parents did, you know, do their best when he was young. But now, because he's gone to a different environment, you know, when they're little, they might, you know, the thing is, live in an area where I know a few people who have really, really, you know, given the best for their children, the deen and the dunya. But as soon as they've gone to a different area, you know,
I'm gonna have to disagree with you. I'll tell you why. Because having been through the system in this country, and both Sharad Bhai and I have been from school to college to university.
Your time was different. We're in a different time. No.
Even now, those children who've been given the right upbringing, whose parents have emphasized their namaz and their Quran, and all the way through, I'm not talking about one incident when he's 12 years old, sit him down and give him a good talking to. I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about is all the way through a madni environment in the home, which instills in that children, and you know the old Kavat, you know, by the time he's going to university, he has such a strong foundation. You know, they used to say, he'll land on his feet. Because he's been given that grounding. You know, this is how it is.
We're in this year, Harun Bhai. You know, the World Health Organization, someone just sent me a screenshot of that, and they say that, you know, they've mentioned that using a hand sanitizer with high alcohol content kills, you know, germs on our skin. Now, what's happened is people have now started to take alcohol. 55% increase on alcohol sale in the lockdown.
I mean, you know, when you talked about statistics earlier on, I pulled some out here as well, and it talks about the number of people who have died from alcohol-related causes. And it talks about a study which found alcohol-related deaths officially recorded by hospitals. This is here in the UK, and it was in 2018, so this gives you an accurate figure. 7,551 deaths were recorded in 2018. Hafizab, that's roughly, if you check your maths, is 20 or even more than 20 deaths a day a person is dying in the UK hospitals because of alcohol. And it talks about other things like alcohol is linked to 65% of suicide attempts, 76,000 facial injuries a year, 23% of child neglect calls to national helplines, 39% of fires, and 15% of drownings as well.
Now, that's why, you know, when I mentioned £20 billion, a lot of that is spending on these kind of stuff as well. And, you know, linked to that is, you know, when a person starts to become an alcoholic, then what comes into that, he will mix in with the wrong crowd, and he will start going into, you know, gambling. Then now, let's move on to gambling. If there's anything you want to talk about alcohol, we'll move on to gambling, because this is, you know, in the Quran, it's mentioned together as well. Now, I know of a person, we sat down, we talked about this. He had two houses, Arumba. He lived in one of them. He had two houses. And what happened was, he got mixed in with the wrong crowd. Very good family, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla. But what happened, as soon as, you know, he starts a new job, he gets in with the wrong crowd. Chalo, Aji, we're going clubbing today. Now, he got into the habit of gambling. His father owned two houses. He lost two of them houses. because he owed so much money to people. Obviously, when people start coming and knocking on your door, and they say, look, we're demanding, and then what happened? He started, they started attacking him. His cars got burned down. All these things happened, and he's done. One day, he opened up, he goes, look, I've lost two houses. I've lost everything. And, you know, Bisharat Bey mentioned, he was at a verge of committing suicide. There's nothing for him left now. His father's reputation, his family's reputation, all gone down the drain. To his father's well-earned hard money, Bichara Dad's on his deathbed now. He's lost everything. You know, and this is what gambling does. And what is gambling? Now, sorry, when people think that gambling is when you go to these arcade machines, that's not only what gambling is.
It starts off, Officer, from a different angle. You know, these people who are gamblers, if you look back at the majority of them, it starts off with these card games at home, bash, as they say, deck of cards, and they chat with their mates, and I've seen so many, it's only five or a tenner and all that, and they're having a little bit of a laugh, and then gradually the stakes come up, and a lot of arguments within they have, which is what the Glorious Quran says, the hatred and the enmity it creates. That's only a minor problem. What they then get up into is the bigger problem. And you're talking about that brother who had two houses and he got, you know, lost both of them gambling. I'm talking about people who sold their parents' house, remortgaged it, remortgaged their sister's house, remortgaged their own house, and pretended that they, you know, were doing something great and a good cause. Why? Because they thought, I'm going to win overnight. Overnight, I'm going to become rich, I'm going to become a millionaire, and that's it. All my worries will disappear. Well, since when have worries?
That's a massive trick of shaitan, isn't it? A massive trick of shaitan. Like, even shaitan can even trick people in pious situations as well. That maybe if you commit a sin, if you gamble, etc., to some masjid banai in your community, and you'll be well respected. So he's put this thought in your mind, and you're going ahead and you're committing these sins. And you're getting stuck into it, and eventually what happens, like you mentioned, your properties, your houses, your children, your wife, everything's gone by the time you've realized. And it's a very big trick of shaitan, but the aim here is that people want to win big.
Sadly, at this moment of time, even the gambling business is, you know, they have millions and billions of pounds of profit. I don't know, Arunbhai, if you've seen it as well. As soon as, you know, you want to go online, you know, this is very, very hard. Why we say don't give a phone to your children at a young age? Because as soon as they go online, the first maybe a pop-up you'll get is £10 free bet. Yeah, have you ever had that?
The slot machines going through.
Yeah, have you ever had that, Bisharat Bey? You know, the thing is, okay, alhamdulillah, we can control ourselves, yeah? But these children, maybe they'll say, oh, it's not for children anyway. But it's enticing them, isn't it? You know what?
You talk about enticing, Hafsab. You know what the shaitan does? He's very clever, very devious, and very sly. And the Glorious Quran tells us that he is your open enemy. What happens is this. When you first get into this, you start to win.
Yeah.
We used to go to, when we were younger, to Blackpool, and we used to have brothers who came with you. As we entered the group, and they used to go straight onto the machines. And we used to think that these guys are really bad. They come all this way, and then they're doing this, yeah? And they used to spend time on there. Why? Because they used to say, well, last time I came on, I made a tenner. And, you know, we were kids then. But they all made a tenner. So they're there, you're kind of, all the way through. We've gone into the park on the rides and everything else, and these guys are still there. And on the way back, we used to pick them up. Right? Because they used to spend, and this is, you know, you're talking college times, university times, and you thought, and now looking back at that, it was addictive. Why? Because once they'd gone along, they maybe put 20p in and got £10 out, and that's it, the shaitan's got them hooked. My brother was talking to a solicitor, this is going to shock you, and he said to, my brother said, you know, how are you doing and everything else, and he said, yeah, I'm not working anymore. He had his own firm. I said, why? He says, well, I go to work, it's hard work at the end of the year, you do your accounts, and you don't save that much. I'm actually working from home now. I'm betting on horses. Now, this is a big problem in our community. A lot of the youngsters who think that they are clever, yeah, and they think they're above the law, you know, nobody knows, yeah, they're actually staying at home betting on horses, right? So he says, I'm betting on horses, and I'm making $2,000 or $3,000 a day. I said, I don't get that in a month. Why do I want to go to work? And he's really bigging it up. And so my brother mentioned it to me because, you know, he said, this guy, he said this. I said, look, it doesn't wash here. You can't carry on consistent like that, even if he's wrong. And I think he said he'd made a lot of money from it. Anyway, within a few months, that same person had lost his business, lost his house, and was declared bankrupt. And then because he had people like Hazabza chasing him for debts and money that he'd borrowed, he went underground. He disappeared totally, so that people couldn't trace him.
Amir al-Sunnati mentions, and if we look at this, you know, we've been, we grew up, some people think, we live in the real world as well. You know, what happens, one Islam brother was telling us, when they have a football game, the loser, he pays for the meal. Even that is gambling as well. That is gambling, but how many people know that? And those people who say that they're educated, even they're doing this. And then, I've seen it myself in Pakistan. I was there. I put a new SIM card in, and then what happens is, text reply back to this text message, and you'll have a chance to win this, this prize. Now, there is a charge to that text message as well. Now, similar thing happened to a youngster our age. His dad comes up and he goes, oh, my dad's really angry today. I go, what happened? He goes, phone and a bill, it came to about £190. And he goes, why are you with that? What's happening? How did he get? And he goes, I was ringing up these betting companies. And I didn't know that they charged £2 per minute. And I was there. They deliberately make you hold on, don't they? So £190 bill. It's a good thing that his dad found out, and he owned up to it. Or else, people have gone to 11-year-olds. Yeah, someone just sent me 11-year-olds. Half a million children, 11-year-olds, have admitted gambling as well.
Hafizah, when you look at our communities as well, these betting shops, they spring up, and you've got to look at it from this point of view. Jitha dukaan khulni, you'd expect good business karubar to hona chahiye na in that area.
Yeah.
And when they do spring up, then we need to look at our communities, because even in the books it tells us that this is if it's a social problem, then we need to get rid of it within the community. And the community needs to stand up against these sort of things and get rid of it from our communities, and that's when we'll see that this disease.
Very good point. I think the starting point has to be this. Instilling in our, because one generation you've lost, we can work on them, and Dawat Islami is working with them, trying to get them back, trying to get the alcoholics off the alcohol, trying to get the gamblers back. But really, for the future, if you say you're going to deal with this problem when it explodes, it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. What you have to do is tackle this problem in its infancy. Let me give you an example. Hafizah, in this building, we've got the electric panel. And the electric panel, it has all the warning signs. Don't touch it, you'll get electrocuted, danger, everything else. Now, as a child, as we've grown up over the years, the one thing that's been emphasized is don't mess with it. Don't mess with it, whatever you do. Why? Because it can kill you.
Yeah.
As children, and this is a taboo, what we do is we don't talk about this with our children. As from the early ages, the tender ages of, 9, 10, 11, 12, we start to say to our children regularly, beta, these are the dangers of alcohol. These are the dangers of gambling. And sometimes I'm surprised by the way people work, because, when it comes to gossip outside, they'll bring it into the home. Fulana did this, Fulana did that, this happened today. But when it comes to things like this, they'll hide it from their children. These are the type of things that if somebody is drinking alcohol, when your child is young, say to them, how can this person do it? This is the worst thing that could have happened. He's destroying his life. He's destroying his family. Make sure that your child appreciates this is wrong. And then repeat it after 3 days. Repeat it after 5 weeks. Bring them on the Madni Kaflas of Dawat Islami, where the Mubalighs are going to do beyond on the mother of all evil. Keep Madni channel on. And time and time again, emphasize this. Now, the child from the age of 9 to the age of 18, till you have control, you've emphasized regularly the dangers of this and how you hate this and how much damage it can do and how gambling is destroying people's lives and people's, livelihoods and everything else. That child will not go near it, because he sees it.
Can I just say, it's very important. Some of the chuvel, if I'm not wrong, more than 50-60% of children have got mobile phones. They've got access to online gaming. And I've seen parents talk about it. My son plays with this so-and-so guy in America, and he always winning. The Gambling Commission itself, they say that the gaming can be a route into the betting industry. Mm-hmm. How? Because they can, the children are exposed through gambling, through loot boxes in video games or a smartphone app. And skins, you know, sometimes when you're playing this video game, you know, as you're playing this video game, you can exchange the points for something. You know, you either get a weapon. Umar Bhai is saying, yep, that's true. Yeah. So what happens, because he's got a good contact with the youngsters as well. So what happens is they exchange these points for guns, for clothing. And then on some websites, separate to the game itself, players can trade, bet on, and their skins to try to get better ones. This is called skin gambling. So what will happen is, now they're getting enticed, yeah?
It's a trap, yeah?
And what happens is, all the time they're getting, you know, all this into their brain, and then one time will come that they will go into the betting, you know, itself, and then it's too late, like you said.
Hafiz Saab, you mentioned, and there's so many telltale signs that have been mentioned here. So we look up, you know, everything, the topics that we've been discussing today, we've been discussing about alcohol, and we've been discussing about all the intoxicants that come with it. So when you've got a child at home, for example, and he's not working, or you've got a son, daughter, whoever, they're not working, they've not got no income coming in, and all of a sudden they've got this money. You know, where's this money coming from? But as parents, we're not questioning it. They're coming in, they're avoiding eye contact. Yeah, really? Definitely roommate luggage, and it will go straight up into their room. They won't talk to the family. They come in at odd hours during the night. Things like that. These are all telltale signs. All of a sudden, your child is asking money from you. They're working, they've got a full-time job, yeah, and, you know, there's loads of telltale signs, and as parents, we have to pick up on
it. Well, they come and park a nice car outside, and instead of dad saying, where's this come from, they say, throw me the keys, I'll go for a spin. This is the hard reality. But, you know... You know, Hafsab, you asked earlier, you know, in this day and age, you know, we're older and our generations were different. And in this day and age, it's difficult to avoid, and you can't, how can you control your kids and how can you bring them up? That was your question, wasn't it?
Yeah.
My reply was that those who work on their children from an early age and build a foundation, yeah, they reap the rewards, right? And now, some of our viewers of Madni Channel might be thinking, well, you know, Harun, that's very fanciful. You know, in this day and age, it's very difficult, right? Well, I want you to listen very carefully to this. In this studio today, we have a young man who's born and bred in this country.
I was born in Pakistan.
Gee? I'm not talking about you.
Oh, right, okay. You said young
don't
man.
Get too, don't get
you,
too...
You hard. Said a young man, didn't you? I'm a young man as well.
Actually, it depends how you define young. So we've got a young man in our studio who's born and bred in this country, whose parents gave him that upbringing that I'm talking about.
Subhanallah.
Right?
Subhanallah.
And today, he's a third-year student on Darsi Nizami, learning the deen of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's got friends. He's grown up and born and bred in this country. He's got a phone. But his parents gave him an upbringing that he realized that all these things were wrong. And he chose. You can't force anybody in this country.
No.
But he chose this path. Why? Because his parents built the base for it. I remember when he was really young as well. And we used to see him in Mephils, yeah? And his parents were instilling into him a shock for natte boxing. And, you know, I was very surprised when he was... I remember him a long, long time ago. And he was reading Allah Hazrat's Kalams. And I was thinking, Allah Hazrat's Kalams are so difficult, some of them, to read. And mashallah, he had the tarz and the understanding. Mashallah. And, you know, may Allah Zajal save him from the
We're going to listen
life.
To a Kalam.
We're going to listen to a Kalam as well. Talking. But, you know, our Beta Umar, he's kind of, you know, his father's a very good friend of mine.
Mashallah.
And every time we look at these youngsters, not only do you feel proud of them, but you think, if they, living in this country, this can happen, what's stopping us from bringing our children up in the same way?
Allahu Akbar. Islam brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, you are watching our program. Our today's topic was about gambling and also drinking alcohol. Bishad Bhai, any last words that you want to mention about this topic that we're discussing today?
If we're stuck in sin, repent in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Allah Azza wa Jal's mercy has no bounds, and forgiveness for Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't decrease His mercy. So Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, the door of mercy is always open, the door of forgiveness is always open.
MashaAllah. Ji Harun Bhai.
Yeah, I think again I'd emphasize the fact that you know, those generations that we've lost, pray for those. Like Bishad Bhai said, if you're listening and you're in these bad habits, then, you know, pray in the court of Allah Azzawajal helps you. And you know, sometimes the brothers are in a vicious circle where they want to get out and they can't. The one thing that you need to do is change your environment. You know, your environment dictates who you are. If you have the wrong friends, you're not going to break free of this vicious circle. But if you pray your salah and pray in the court of Allah, Ya Allah, I've gone down the wrong path, I admit it, I repent, but I need your help. And after every salah, you pray, get your parents to pray for you. But amongst everything else, if you want to change, you've got to change your environment. If you think that you're going to give up alcohol but remain in the company of those who were drinking, it's never going to happen. Never going to happen. If you think that you're going to give up gambling but remain in the company of the gamblers or watch it on your phone, it's never going to happen. You have to change your environment. And this is where your Dawat Islami comes in. Because, you know, the Buzurgan-e-Deen Rai Hafiz Sahib, that you need a change of environment. You need a new environment, a new life. And Dawat Islami gives you that. How? You've got the Thursday Ijtimaas. You've got the Saturday Madni Muzakras. You've got the Madni Kaflas once a month. Then you've got a 24-hour Mubaligh in your home on Madni Channel. Then you've got all these books. You've got all these courses. It gives you a full system to come into that can change your whole environment. So, you know, what a lot of people do is they say, yes, you've got to change, but they don't show you how to and they don't give you an environment. They say, you need a better environment. Dawat Islami doesn't do that. And this is why Dawat Islami has been supremely successful throughout the world. Because not only does it say you're doing wrong, but it says this is how you put it right and this is the environment we give you. So I'd say come into the beautiful Dawat Islami and Madani environment and watch the Madani revolution in your life.
Is it limited for age though?
Dawat Islami... No, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, this is where the beauty is, and we see the beauty here as well, from whatever age, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, you know, coming onto Madni Channel, and at the other extreme, you've got our Noor Bhai, who I'll use as an example, he was on a few days ago, 70-something years,
77,
he was a priest, he's done the Dars-e Nizami course now, and mashallah, I think he's teaching as well, isn't he? I think he was teaching
somebody. He teaches in Manchester prison,
So, you know, look at that, so there's no age, alhamdulillah, the Madri environment, is, and the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows no bounds, it's open to everybody.
Mashallah, so many things that we can't talk about this, to be honest with you, but inshallah, azza wa jal, what we need to do is try to keep yourself aware, your children as well, because this is a disease that, you know, really we need to eradicate from our society. It's now end of our program. Sallu ala al-Habib. Keep watching Madani Channel.
Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.